"This is Nazism in its worst form," declared a mother with breathless, if understandable, exaggeration. The university president, James A. Perkins, was required to cancel his morning convocation address, sublimely titled, "The Stability of the University." In popular myth, the 1960s was a gentle utopian movement that opposed the colonialist Vietnam War abroad and sought greater social equality and harmony at home. And it is true that the vast majority of those young people who were drawn to what they called the movement were starry-eyed idealists who thought they were ushering in the age of Aquarius. Still, in its strictly political dimension, there is no denying that the movement's activist core was little more than a fascist youth cult. Indeed, the movement of the 1960s may be considered the third great fascist moment of the 20th century. The radicals of the New Left may have spoken about power to the people and the authentic voice of a new generation, but they really favored neither. They were an avant-garde movement that sought to redefine not only politics, but human nature itself. Historically, fascism is of necessity and by design a form of youth movement, and all youth movements have more than a whiff of fascism about them. The exaltation of passion over reason, action over deliberation, is a naturally youthful impulse. Treating young people as equals, privileging their opinions precisely because they lack experience and knowledge, is an inherently fascist tendency, because at its heart lies the urge to throw off old ways and old dogmas in favor of what the Nazis called the idealism of the deed. Youth politics, like populism generally, is the politics of the tantrum and the hissy fit. The indulgence of so-called youth politics is one face of the sort of cowardice and insecurity that leads to the triumph of barbarism. While there's no disputing that Nazism's success was deeply connected to the privations of the Great German Depression, that should not lead one to think that Nazism itself was a product of poverty. Even before World War I, Germany was undergoing a revolution of youth. The war merely accelerated these trends, heightening both idealism and alienation. Klaus Mann, the secular Jew and homosexual novelist, spoke for much of his generation when he wrote in 1927, "We are a generation that is united, so to speak, only by perplexity. As yet, we have not found the goal that might be able to dedicate us to common effort, although we all share the search for such a goal." Mann understated the case. While young Germans were divided about what should replace the old order, they were united by more than mere perplexity. A sort of youthful identity politics had swept through Germany, fixed by the notion that the new generation was different and better because it had been liberated from the politics of corrupt and cowardly old men and was determined to create an authentic new order.